Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Brihadakacharya, Asatara Sadushi, Shriman, His Divine Grace, Tulasi, Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada Kidai, Gaur Premanande, Harival, glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj, Namaste, Namaste Sarasatam Deve, Gauravani Vikarne, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharna. Om Aganatavanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gravena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakans Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinavando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Siddhadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Vavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18. Perfection of Renunciation, text number 5. Sorry, oh, 4. Nishchayam shuni me tatra Tyage bharata satama Tyago hi purusho vyagra Trivida samprikirtitaha Nishchayam shinu metatra. Tyage bharata satama. Tyago hi purusha vyagra. Trivida samprakirtitaha. Yage Bharata Satama Ushal Vyagra Vivida Samprakirtitaha Nishayam Shunime Tatra Yage Bharata Satama Tyago Hi Purusha Vyagra Trivida samprakirtitaha Nishayam shunime tatra Vidaya satama Usho daga Vidaya shitya Patris Ladies. Nishchayam certainly Shrinu Kir May from me Tatra therein Tyage in the matter of renunciation Bharata Satama, O best of the Bharatas, Tyaga, renunciation, he certainly, Purusha, Vyagra, O tiger among men, or O tiger among human beings, Trivida, of three kinds. Samprakirtitaha is declared. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. Purport, although there are differences of opinion about renunciation, here the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, gives his judgment, which should be taken as final. After all, the Vedas are different laws given by the Lord. Here the Lord is personally present, and his word should be taken as final. The Lord says that the process of renunciation should be considered in terms of the modes of material nature in which it is performed. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vrishtai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Oravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Sitarane. This 18th chapter is the summary of what's been discussed before, and one of the topics before is about renunciation. Basically, renunciation of the material concept of life. That our materialistic concept of life is based upon not only is based upon our practical activities. Those who act in the mode of ignorance or passion or even materialistic goodness, their material concept of life will be that to some extent that they're the lords of material nature and that they're their enjoyers. And one who acts in Krishna consciousness, then he'll be acting transcendentally. Therefore, Krishna, in this 18th chapter, he'll combine the concepts of activities in the material world with the concept of renunciation by explaining about the three modes of material nature. For instance, later on he'll say here, Sarva Bhuteshu Yena Ekam Sarvam Bhavam Ikshete Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu Tajjnanam Vidirsatvikam Pritak Venati Yajjnanam Nana Bhavam Pritak Vidan Veti Sarveshu Bhuteshu Tajjnanam Vidirajasam Yet to Krishna Devat Ekasmin Karya Sakta Mahaitukam Atatvarta Vidalpamcha Tatamasamudaritam. So this is just one aspect. Krishna will explain about knowledge. He'll explain about the doer or the worker. He'll explain about the work. He'll explain about intelligence. He'll explain about determination. He'll explain about happiness. He'll explain about all these things in the modes of material nature. But either they can be performed in one of those three modes or they can be performed transcendentally. Generally, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will begin with the mode of goodness, that one who sees, for instance, Sarvabhuteshu Yena Ekam, that one who can see that all living entities are spiritually one in quality. Although divided into innumerable forms, his vision is said to be in the mode of goodness. So generally, Krishna, when he explains about the mode of goodness, he'll explain that the mode of goodness is more or less Krishna consciousness. Generally. Of course, the mode of goodness is also defined as slightly contaminated with the modes of ignorance and passion. Even in the purport to the verse, Tatra sattvat nimala dvat prakasha kamanamayam sukha sangena bhananti jnana sangena chagnaga. The mode of goodness being purer than the others is illuminating and frees one from all sinful reaction. Those established in that mode become bound or conditioned by a sense of knowledge, by a sense of happiness. So sometimes the mode of goodness is defined as slightly contaminated knowledge and happiness contaminated slightly or to some extent by the modes of ignorance and passion. But in this chapter especially, Krishna will tend to emphasize goodness as being the quality that leads one to devotional service. Sarvabhuteshu yena ekam bhavam avyam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tajjnanam vidirajasam satvikam. That one who can see all living entities, vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini shuni chaiva svapakecha Pandita Samadarshanaha, that an actual yogi, he sees not only the soul, but also the super soul, or Lakshmi Narayan, or Radha and Krishna, present in the hearts of all living entities. Therefore, he sees that someone may be in the body of a dog or a cat, or this body, that body, but he doesn't take that as significant, or as significant, as the fact that there's a soul, along with the super soul in everyone's body. And this is a sign of real knowledge. This has been emphasized. But Pritak Venati Ajjnanam, Pritak Venati Ajjnanam, Nana Bhava Vidan, Nana Bhava Pritak Vidan, Veti Sarveshu Bhuteshu, Tajjnanam Vidi Rajasam. But when one starts seeing that according to the different bodies, there's a different soul. In other words, one becomes confused. Apparently that because there's a different body, therefore the persons are different because of the different bodies. Of course, we're not impersonalists either. We don't say that the soul being one is one in every respect. But the souls are all one in quality and different from the material nature. Therefore, whatever they're manifesting temporarily in terms of qualities of the material energy has really nothing to do with their actual identity or nature. I may be a coward boy in Vrindavan, or I may be a gopi in Vrindavan, or a blade of grass in Vrindavan, but now I may be a frog in the material world. So we may think that the gopi or the blade of grass or the Chintamani tree or the Kalpavriksha tree has now become a frog, but actually it hasn't become a frog. It is only thinking it's become a frog. And if we're thinking that it's become a frog, then we're more or less on the same level as the frog. Okay. That the human being is supposed to come to the platform of understanding that all living entities, no matter what their external material dress, they have the same spiritual nature. Therefore, a devotee doesn't think it's all right to kill the cow, so that kill goat Narayan to feed the Dharidra Narayan. This is all lack of knowledge, foolishness. And those who are involved in such a lack of transcendental understanding, they simply revolve in the cycle of birth and death, taking themselves different forms of body. But here in this renunciation, Krishna will explain about how to see in the mode of goodness and what is the result, what the vision of the mode of passion is, what the vision of the mode of ignorance is. The mode of ignorance, one sees only one work is all in all without knowledge of the truth, and their knowledge is very meager. Most people are trained up in the mode of ignorance. Most people think whatever they're doing is very important, especially if it provides some result. And they generally know about very few things, or they're not very interested in anything beyond their family, or they'll read the local newspaper with great interest to find out who was born, who died, who got murdered, who stole what. But they have no real interest in finding out anything beyond their birth. So although they have so much technical knowledge in modern society, they think they know everything, but in terms of reality, they know hardly anything. Alpamcha is very meager. Therefore, they don't have any renunciation. There's no conception of renunciation. They're completely attached to the illusory conception of being the lord of the material nature. And those in the mode of passion, there may be some idea, maybe given charity a little bit or something, but they're also stuck in the concept of becoming the lord and the enjoyers of material nature. And in the mode of goodness, then one can see that actually it is not very intelligent to consider oneself to be the lord or the enjoyer of anything here in the material nature independently of Krishna. That's called knowledge. Similarly, when we come to the worker, or what is it? Niyatam sangarahitam araga dveshita kritam apala prepsina karma yat tat satvikam uchite. That there are qualities for the person who's working, who's a worker in the mode of goodness. Araga, niyatam. Niyatam means to follow the scriptures, the injunctions. Sangarahitam, without any attachment. Araga prepsina karma, araga dveshita karma, without rag, without attachment or dvesha, without aversion. Niyatam sangarahitam araga dveshita kritam. When it does its work without following the injunctions, without attachment, without aversion, and apala prepsina karma, who renounces all the results of his work, doesn't think he's become the proprietor, he's said to be in the mode of goodness. But ragi karampala prepsur lubda himsatnika suchi arshashaka vitakarata satika rajasa parikirtitaha. But again, the qualities in the mode of passion are there, which are generally just a lot of attachment. Ragi karampala prepsur. One is very attached to the results of his work. Ragi Karampala Prakta Libda, who's greedy, himself the Ko Suchi, not very clean, not very gentle. So there are certain qualities, and again, in the mode of ignorance, there are other qualities, Anubandha. I got that mixed up. Yet tu karmic sinat karma sahankarena va punak kriyatam vahulaya sam tatraja samudaritam. And anubandham shayahi him sam anupreksha chapurusham moharabhyate karma yet tat tamasa uchate. So, anubandham, of future bondage, shayam himsam, and destruction, and himsam, of course, is distress others, anupeksha, without considering the consequences. In other words, just whimsical. So one can be a worker in the mode of ignorance, one can be a worker in the mode of passion, or one can be a worker in the mode of goodness. And one's work could be in the mode of goodness, one's work can be in the mode of passion. So all these things determine our conception, whether we can consider easily that we're Krishna's servant and we should do something to please Krishna, or we can, that we're the, somehow or another the masters here. So of course these are all the modes of nature, mental. But these mental things manifest themselves in practical knowledge, practical work, practical workers, practical intelligence, practical determination. They manifest themselves, and therefore either one becomes easily can advance in spiritual life, or one will find it practically impossible. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of trying to light a fire and trying to pour water on it at the same time. It's very difficult. But if the wood is dry, then it's much easier. So one has to examine the concept of renunciation in all different fields of activities according to the three modes of nature. Whether or not I'm absorbed in the concept of becoming the Lord and the enjoyer by thinking myself in different ways, in different aspects. And then one can examine this thoroughly in one's activities, that one will not become so easily deluded by the modes of material nature, and one can easily, in one's work, as a worker, with one's intelligence, with one's conception of life, with one's determination, one can easily remain in the mode of goodness, unaffected by the other conceptions of life, and therefore be able to chant Hare Krishna very happily and make tangible spiritual advancement. With all sincerity, asking Krishna to kindly raise us up to the spiritual platform. But those who want to be raised up to the spiritual platform and at the same time remain in the material concept of life, of being a very special worker, having very special work, having one's own conception of life, one wants to remain independent of Krishna and the modes of nature, then it becomes very difficult. So for this reason, Krishna is emphasizing the three modes of material nature. So ultimately, we can see things in the right way. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining repeatedly about vision. Vision doesn't mean that simply you have 20/20 vision, therefore you have good vision. Now, real vision is spiritual vision. So Bhagavad Gita is meant to train us with vision so we can see things in the right perspective. We can hear things in the right perspective. Everything can be understood in the right perspective. Therefore, hearing is meant to put our consciousness, intelligence, in the right perspective so we can understand what to do practically. Hearing itself is not sufficient, although there may be three main processes that we describe, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. But hearing being the first doesn't mean just to hear. It means to actually hear and see. Because unless we can see what we're hearing, we haven't heard anything. And that seeing means to see practically. They've done tests when I was a psychology major in college, which is almost ancient history, but they did tests, and persons who were born with cataracts in over their eyes, when they removed the cataracts, they couldn't see anything because everything appeared to be one. People have to learn how to see things through hearing so they can divide things into the proper categories. So, of course, we've learned how to divide things into different categories, but unfortunately, the categories we've divided into are, believe it or not, they're wrong categories. They're superficial. Yatha bhuta prithak bhavan eka samanupashati tatha eva cha vishtaram brahma sampadite tatha. When a sensible person ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies and sees how the spirit souls are expanded everywhere, then he can actually see. In other words, just to see how everyone's divided into different bodies and forget about the souls in the bodies is not very intelligent. It's not the proper vision. Because after all, these bodies are completely superficial. As I explained this morning, they're just combinations of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, which are just combinations of material nature which have nothing to do with the soul. So to see separate identities just because they have separate bodies on, probably would say someone has a blue dress on, a blue shirt, someone else has a brown shirt, or someone has a white shirt, a green shirt, but that doesn't mean that they become a green person. Or whatever, white person, black person, orange person, red person. No, it's just a shirt they have on. So similarly, the soul simply has different shirts on. So one has to see like that. Not just theoretically, because after one can understand it intellectually at least, then one has to apply that in practical activities. That's called devotional service. That one has to do something on that basis. Therefore, Prabhupada especially recommended preaching, because this preaching is obviously should be a direct manifestation of that idea. That everyone is Krishna's servant. Therefore, what is the result? The result is not that I think, well, that's nice, everyone's Krishna's servant. It doesn't really matter what happens to them. Let them become frogs for all we care, because they don't really become frogs. They're just spiritual souls. That may be true, but that's rather impersonal. As I said before, one time Prabhupada was... Anyhow, people may want to become a frog or a dog or whatever else. But the higher aspect, the spiritual aspect, is to become a little compassionate to people. That why should they waste their time becoming a dog or a cat or a frog? They should wake up as to their spiritual identities. Therefore, the natural reaction of seeing how everyone is a spiritual soul, the natural reaction should be, well, let me do something for the preaching so that people can be benefited and wake up to their spiritual identity. So that's called practical devotional service. Otherwise, if we perform devotional service without any vision, then what kind of service is it? It may be some service, but the idea ultimately is to help us wake up to some spiritual vision and then do our service with some kind of vision. Otherwise, certainly we'll be doing our service with some kind of half spiritually asleep and therefore with some material motivation. Although that's not bad, but it certainly will not give us the highest benefit, because by doing practical service with spiritual vision, then the result is that Krishna becomes pleased enough so he can awaken our spiritual consciousness, and then it's realized. It's experienced. That's called remembrance. Just like at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was interested to find out from Arjuna whether or what he was saying, Arjuna had heard anything. But he just didn't ask, did you hear it? And Arjuna didn't just say, yes, I heard it. Anything else, I'm getting a little bored, you know. Same old thing every time you say it. You seem to have repeated yourself for 18 chapters. Let's read some other book, all right? I mean, after all, there's going to be a big war, and, you know, I don't want to fall asleep during the war. No, Krishna asked Arjuna. He said, kachit etat shutam parta tvayai kagrena chetasa kachit agana samoha pranatas te dananjaya. First of all, he said, "Did you hear? Did you listen?" But not just listen. Did you hear it with eka? Kachit e tat chutam parta tatrai kagrena chetasa, with one pointed attention. Eka grena. I think that's a Sanskrit. It's a question whether it's the right pronunciation. Twayabayu eka agrena. Eka grena. Full attention. One pointed attention. Did your mind wander so that whatever I said, you heard like one half of it, and therefore you filled in the other half in your own, with your own ideas? Because that's what usually happens. We hear half of whatever was being said, and then the rest of it, we just fill it in ourselves. So have you heard with full attention? And what is the proof you've heard with full attention? There is kachit, kachit etas shutam parta twaya ka grena chetasa kachit agana. Has your ignorance been destroyed? Are you still identifying everyone with their material body, including yourself? Kachit agana samoha. And is your illusion destroyed? So naturally from ignorance comes illusion, because we're ignorantly accepting ourselves as the enjoyers and the controllers. Naturally, we create a whole idea of what's going on in the material world. Just like nowadays, people have this whole idea that, you know, there's America has some enemy, and if we simply go over there and kill everyone there, then the whole world would be peaceful. Completely no concept, complete illusion. They don't realize that their real enemy is their mind, which is driving them to hell. Doesn't matter if you kill every last person in the Middle East. Still, practically speaking, they're going to go to hell anyhow. Probably faster because there are even more sinful activities. So this whole conception of we're the good guys and everyone else is the bad guys. You know, we're eternally cowboys and everyone else is an Indian. It's just an illusory conception of life that, you know, has been created due to ignorance. Practically speaking, due to ignorance, you know, they have a complete illusion that they're propagating. It's a complete package, just full of all kinds of ignorance, all based on the bodily concept of life. Kachit agana samoha pranatas. Your life, your energy, te dunanja, are you going to do something? So Krishna was interested whether or not Arjuna had heard enough so he understood things properly, and therefore he understood what he's supposed to do. And then he was interested if he's actually going to do it. Not that now my ignorance is dispelled, now my illusion is dispelled, and I don't like it. I liked it better when I was in illusion and ignorance. Maybe I can do something to forget what you told me. Because I don't really want to follow your instructions. It's the last thing I want to find out. You know, that I'm just 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size and everyone's equal to me. Where's the fun? You've taken it all away. I'm depressed now. I'm not going to go and fight in this war. I'm going to go home and cry. So it's not enough to hear the truth, just like sometimes people think, now I've got initiated, so my job is done. Finally I got initiated, got the beads, got a new name, and therefore I'm enlightened. Now I can do, or as Prabhupada once did. He's talking to Hari Sari, and he was chanting some japa, and Hari Sari came in, and Prabhupada put down the final candle bead, and he threw his japa beads on the desk and said, now I've finished my 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing I want. So this idea that, you know, now I've understood everything perfectly, I think I have, and now my illusion is dispelled, now I can do anything I want. Because I'm free. Nothing will touch me. Or now I don't like what I heard, so now I'll try and forget it. No, Arjuna said, Nashtam Oha. Smritira Labdva. My illusion has been dispelled. And what's the symptom? Is now I can start remembering again what's real. Now, when I look around, I can remember what you said. And it fits in. It all makes sense. It's clear. In other words, Smritira Labdva, Tat Prasadamaya Tuja. And it wasn't that I'm a nice person, therefore I certainly deserved it. No, it was by your mercy. By the mercy of your representatives. That why should I take any credit? I came here to the material world as a rascal trying to become God. And somehow or another, by Krishna's mercy, I've learned that I'm actually God's servant. By the mercy of God's servants, I've learned that I'm actually the servant of Krishna. Stitosndi gatasandeha. Now I'm actually prepared. Karishe vachanam tava. To follow your word. To serve your instruction. Therefore, it's considered that Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary book that gives one theoretical knowledge that one can understand further in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One can understand that Krishna is God and that I'm God's servant, and in Srimad Bhagavatam it tells us how to serve God in more detail. So here, finally, in the 18th chapter, Krishna is talking about renunciation. Principally, we'll find out that renunciation means the material renunciation, the material concept of life, which is given to us in varieties in the three modes of nature, in everything. Although Krishna only mentions knowledge, the worker, the work, intelligence, determination, happiness, and before he mentions about these things in Jaga, Dana, and Tapas, in the three modes. But actually, they're in every aspect of life. That as soon as one forgets that one is trying to do something to please Krishna, then one of the three modes is one is just becoming attracted to the three modes, usually ignorance and passion. And what will this lead to? Ignorance, illusion, and finally doing something that will put one further into the three modes of material nature. So Krishna doesn't recommend that. He'll recommend to renounce the material concept of life, accept the spiritual concept of life of being Krishna's servant, and then doing something practically according to Krishna's directions to satisfy Krishna, to serve Krishna's words, as will be confirmed not only in Bhagavad Gita, but will later on be explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam in more details. And then finally, the perfection of such understanding is explained in even more detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is the emotional mood of pure desire to please Krishna? How that develops, how that mood can be cultivated and developed, especially in the association of advanced devotees. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes. No. Prabhupada was doing that. Prabhupada said that. Now I've finished my 16 rounds and I can do any damn thing I want. Yes. Well, it's to give me a husband, but it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't rhyme, so he didn't. No, we're not male, we're not female, we're not these bodies. We're just, actually, in relation to Krishna, everyone is female. Everyone is just trying to find out what Krishna wants, and then to try and do that. Because no one knows better than Krishna what's the best thing for everyone's benefit in this world. Whatever Krishna wants is actually for everyone's benefit because he's everyone's friend. He's the best friend. But when we want something, it's not for our benefit ultimately. It won't be for anyone else's benefit. So therefore, it's considered a waste of time. Therefore,
doesn't really matter if male, female, whatever. It matters whether or not we're in the mood of trying to do something practically to serve Krishna as we'd like to be served. So people think that this is some kind of sectarian conception that we want to serve some sectarian person, God, called Hindu God, called Krishna. But it's reality. And there are different phases of that reality. Some people are, although people generally go and serve God in order to get some material benefit, and Prabhupada has explained that that's certainly commendable. But it's also will bring one to another body within the material world, so that won't be very benefit. That won't be the ultimate benefit. The ultimate benefit is to understand that if you're going to approach a multi-trillionaire and you ask for 5 cents, it's not a good idea. If you go to God, who can give you eternal life with unlimited pleasure and in full awareness, and you ask for, you know, for a color TV, it doesn't matter who you are, that you're not taking advantage of the opportunity. Okay, thank you very much. Granth Raj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.